Morning.
Morning.
Good to see you here this morning. Some of you I see are an answer to prayer. You got over the Rona.
Yep.
And you're here amongst us. We appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. I have 15 pages of notes that we did not get through. So we will do our best to conclude it. So I'm going to speak fast, you listen faster, and we'll get through it, maybe. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read it from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What I would like to do today is just sort of, first of all, just review a little bit and then give some practical advice. Obviously, there's no way that I can address every situation, so I didn't try to do that. My intent was to give some general principles, and I want to go over those general principles with you this morning. We began this series realizing that children are a gift from the Lord. And because they're a gift from the Lord, that shows the grace of God, that God has allowed us to have children, but it also shows that we have a responsibility that God has given to us, that we have a responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a tremendous responsibility, and our generation has been negligent in that. We need to be faithful as Christians to set the example. I noted that these are the goals. And as I've gone over these notes, I've just, in remembering my own life and my own children, Janice and I had 4 children, I just realized there are no perfect parents outside the Heavenly Father. He was a perfect parent, and he still had a problem child with Adam. So even perfect parents are going to have difficulties. We have to recognize that. It was the father that was waiting for the prodigal to return. I'm sure he was a good father, but all children have a nature. We spoke about that last week. The children do have a nature. They are children of Adam. We need to recognize that they are sinners, and that we need to apply the cross to them, or teach them to apply the cross to themselves, and we need to train them to walk righteously. That is our responsibility. So if you have a pen and paper, you can write some of these ideas down that I've accumulated over 40-some years plus reading the Bible. I tell you the truth, I did not have an example, unfortunately, of what a good parent was. My parents were divorced several times. The last time, when I was 12 years old, that was a disaster. I am not a fan of divorce because I've seen the effects it has on children. I, by the grace of God, got saved at 16 years old, 4 years after the divorce of my parents. It was by the grace of God because I was heading down the wrong road fast, and it had a tremendous effect on all of my siblings. So that is not to condemn you if you've gone through a divorce. I realize there are problems. It is not my intent to condemn you. And you already know the difficulties that divorce presents. I'm just showing you that God's intent was for one man and one woman for the life, for their entire life in marriage. That was God's intent. And the closer we get to God's intent, the better off everybody is. Not only in our own lives, but the lives of our children and the lives of our church and the lives of society as a whole, if people would follow what God has to say. And again, let me reiterate, you could be the absolute best parent and still have a rebellious child. It's the nature. You just have to recognize that we have to apply the goals and put ourselves in the best percentage in the place where God can bless. You want to be around where God can bless and grant mercy and grace to you. So that's what we want to do. So here's some things. I did a lot of reading over the years about children and families and whatnot. Held conferences in Poland and Mexico about children and how to raise them and whatnot. And some of the things that I wrote down over the years is there are 5 essential things to have a good family and children that will not be delinquent. Number one, love. Amen. Did you know there's a command in the Bible to love one another? Yeah. And did you know there's a command in the Bible for ladies to love their children? Did you know that? You see, that tells me something, that love is not an emotion. Right. Although we can have emotions that we would call love. Love is something that you can do. It's an action. Yeah? Love one another is a verb. It's a command. It's something that you can be commanded to do. And there's no excuse. Well, I just don't feel the love. Well, then love. And then the feeling will follow. Yeah? Did you know people have gotten married without knowing each other throughout history? And they learn to love one another. You can love your children. You ought to love their children. You know, I grew up in a family, I never heard "I love you" from my parents. That's a tragedy. You ought to tell your children you love them, and more importantly, you ought to show your children you love them. Yeah? So love is important. Discipline is important. And by discipline, I mean just, firm, and regular. Inconsistent discipline has no effect. It has the opposite effect. It has to be firm, it has to be just, it has to be righteous, applied to the person as guilty. All parents ought to have at least children, two children. It's not fair to the rest of us that had two or more, because then you're never going to experience the problem of who did it. And all four children are pointing at each other, you know, and then you just don't know. You know? So, love and discipline, consistency in all aspects of life. Consistency in discipline, consistency in the marriage, consistency in expressing your love, consistency. Everybody hates a hypocrite, including children. Yeah. I got one half amen out of that, so. Oh, that was a whole one? It was just a different language. Yeah. Oh, that was in English. You gotcha. Yeah. Let you. Yeah. Yay and amen. Appreciate that, Bill. So love, discipline, consistency, examples. Remember what I told you in the first, when we first started this series? Raising children begins here. You have to allow God to work on you, and that you show yourself a child that obeys your Heavenly Father so that your children might learn how to obey. And if you yourself are rebellious, how can you expect your children to submit? That's the difficulty. The main problem is right here in your own heart. You pick up your cross daily. You be consistent in reading the Bible and praying and going to church and doing what God tells you to do. You learn to submit. You learn to love one another. You learn to serve others. And your children will see that example. All children need examples. Children naturally mimic the actions of their parents. When I was a child, you know, you went down and you got the candy cigarette because mom and dad were smoking and you wanted to smoke. You got your Coke bottle and you were drinking like you poured it in a glass because that's what mom and dad did. They're gonna follow your example. That ought to warn you, if nothing else, it ought to scare you to realize that your children are watching you and they're gonna do what you do. Yeah? When that little child lets out that derogatory word, that curse word, everybody knows where they got it from. Because they heard it from somewhere. You know? So, love, discipline, consistency, example, and a man at the head of the household. Where have the men gone? I'm not talking necessarily about males in that. That's not the point. The point is males need to be men. They need to be leaders in their home. And God has given you authority, and don't give up that authority. You need to lead. We need some men. Not just the Marines. The church needs some men. The families need men. We live in a generation where delinquents are fatherless. The fatherless, they don't even know their fathers. they're gone. It's not only just divorce, it's that they never got married in the first place, and they have no idea who their fathers are, and that will raise a generation of delinquents. We need a father in the home. Stay in the home, fathers. All right, I'm going to go down these things because I want to make sure you get them. We're going to get some the scriptures here real quick. The Lord gave you children and the authority and responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God has given you the authority. Don't give it up. Your child will try to take the authority. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. Who's going to rule the roost? And if you treat your child like a king, then that king is going to rule the roost and you're going to be the subject. Yeah? If you treat that daughter of yours like the queen, then she's going to rule, she's going to have the rod, and you're going to be in submission to her. And that is an abomination. Right. You were given the authority by God. You were entrusted with these children that God gave you. You have to lead them, and you're given that responsibility. Don't give up that authority. That does not mean that when a child rebels and says no, that you've relinquished your authority, even though that is a point against you, because that's authority. And if you don't give some consequences to that, then they're gonna, that's another point on their side. So if we're gonna do it like a game in the sense of how many points we have, if you have the authority and the child says no, now that's one point for the child and he's ahead. But if you apply consequences to that and reestablish your authority, that puts you ahead of the game. So you stay ahead of the game, keep your authority, do not relinquish it to the children. Set your own house in order, your own life, your own marriage. Love your husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How about there? You start there. You demonstrate love in the family and your children will see that and follow it. And if you don't have your house in order and your own life in order and your own marriage in order, it's going to be difficult to raise children properly. Yeah? Just good practical advice. Don't fight before you in front of your children. You're going to have a fight, but take it outside or take it somewhere else where the children are around, and then go at it and fix it, yeah? Hey, life is real. Yeah, yeah. Janice and I have fights. She used to be a redhead. I used to have hair. We have fights, yeah? Knock down, drag, not physical fights, but knock down, drag out fights. But we have something that was established even before we got married. Divorce is not an option. So however long the fight lasts, we have to work it out. And you are going to have to work it out if you want to have a good marriage and if you want to have good kids, but do the fighting, not in front of the kids. You're welcome. I stated this, children are not kings or queens. They are not adults. Don't treat them like adults. They're children. It's a different class of people. This does not mean that children are second class citizens. It does not mean that they are slaves, but they are to be trained to be servants. For even a king when he's a child is a servant. He's under tutors, the Bible tells us. Yeah? And you are a servant, so you need to teach your children to be servants. The Lord Jesus Christ served others. We need to learn to serve others. And if you're not serving others, if you're not serving Christ, it's going to be very difficult for you to teach your child how to serve. You're going to make him into a slave. And there's a vast difference between a slave and a servant. I've already mentioned this. Even the best parents have disappointing children. Having children is an investment in time. If you are interested in keeping your clock and your time and your schedule, well, when that child shows planned on sleeping from 10 p.m. to 6 or 7 a.m., that was your plan. The child comes into the picture, hey, guess what? You're waking up at 12, 2, 4. Get ready, Erica. This is a warning. You're going to be waking up every couple hours, yeah? You too, David, because she's going to say, I want to sleep, and you're going to get an elbow, and you're going to have to get up and feed the child. That's why I'm an advocate of breastfeeding. I have my motives, right? But children are an investment of time. They take your time. Here's a piece of advice. Give your child undivided attention at least once a day, where just you and the child. I know you're busy. We're all busy. In our generation, we're not working on the farms anymore. People are going off to the factory or going off to the bank or wherever they're working. They're going off to school. We're all busy. We're not having a family enterprise like it used to be, where everybody was working together. So we have to invest our time. I know you're tired when you come home, 8 to 10 hours of working, but give your child and children time every day, undivided attention, with the TV shut off, with the phone set aside, where you're just paying attention. You're going eyeball to eyeball. I know it can be scary, but you're going eyeball to eyeball with the child. Yeah? And you're giving them attention. They need your undivided attention. If you do not give that to them, they will find other ways to get it. And then you have problems. This is very important. I haven't got to the rod part of raising children. And the reason that I'm not reluctant, the reason I sort of put it off is I wanted to establish these other foundations before we get there. Because I personally believe if you do not love your child, you ought not to be spanking your child. If you're not investing time in your child, you ought not to be spanking. If you're not a serving Christ like you ought to, you ought not to be spanking your child, because it leads to cruelty. Did you know there are Christians in jail this morning because they beat their children half to death? And then they quote scripture as giving them authority to do that? You don't have the authority to beat your children half to death. Now, you have authority to spank your children, you have the authority to use a rod on your children, but there are extremes, and the two extremes in our generation is excessive beating and no discipline at all. And both extremes are wrong and will have the adverse effect on your children. Amen. Yeah? We need to have a balance. So what I've tried to do in this series is to establish the authority and to show that we have to raise our children according to God's plan, God's order, and not our plans and our orders. Yeah? If you love your child, you will use the rod on your child. It will be necessary. Yeah? And you'll find out that that rod can save you a lot of time. Amen. Pain is a teacher. Did you know that? Now, one of the things I think you ought to do, and we'll probably be talking about this as time permits, is you ought to lay out clear rules to your children before you ever discipline them. You've got to show them the rules or explain to them the rules. Once they understand the rules, then we know if they violate the rules. But you can't just, out of the blue, just smack your child because you don't like what they're doing. Discipline has a purpose. It's to train. Yeah? And if it's just out of frustration, out of anger, out of you being intoxicated. If you're a drinker, you ought not to be spanking your children. If you take drugs, don't be spanking your children. If you don't have a consistent Christian life, don't spank your children. Because you're going to do things in the excessive manner that it should not be. Listen, your children have to know you love them. Once they know you love them, they're going to understand why you're spanking them. And God doesn't always spank. He does spank. He does chastise, is the biblical word. Yeah? And He does so because He loves you, and He does it for your profit, the Bible says. So discipline or chastisement should not be out of frustration. It should be a purpose, and the children should know it's coming because they violated a clear rule that you set. Yeah? The rod is a tool and not an end-all. Use the tool properly. Yeah? Three things. Have a plan, talking about husbands and wives. Have a plan, agree on the plan, execute the plan. Children are foolish by nature, but they're not dumb. They're very astute. If they find out that daddy doesn't want them to do it, they're going to go to mama. And a dad and mom don't have a plan and are not in agreement on that plan, the children are going to find out how to maneuver and how to manipulate. Don't allow your children to manipulate you. Yeah? You and your husband, you and your wife get together, agree on the plan, and then both of you enforce the rules. Yeah? Don't let them play ping pong. Yeah? And then, by the way, mama, or by the way, daddy, if you say, go ask your mother, you're relinquishing your authority to your mother, and if your mother or the wife decides to do something, you've already given her that authority, then abide by it. Yeah? So, better yet, you make the decision. Don't be shrugging off the responsibility. You're welcome. Just a few definitions. Instruct. To furnish with knowledge. Especially by a systematic method. To teach, train, educate. Yeah? We need to instruct our children. This requires time. Teach. To impart knowledge or skill. Nurture, rear, upbring, train, educate, and the like. Chastise. To discipline. Especially by corporal punishment. Now, chastisement is not always corporal. There are other types of chastisement, but it does include corporal punishment. In my generation, when I went from 6th grade to 7th grade, in other words, in Michigan at the time, it was from elementary school to middle school. In elementary school, you showed up on the first day, you put your hands on the table, and your teacher gave you a swat just so you'd know what it's going to be like if you got out of line. That was in my generation. You know what the number one problem in elementary school was? Chewing gum and running in the hallway. The next year, when I went into middle school, they did away with the paddle. Then, all of a sudden, we had major problems. And razor wire was put on the fences. Yeah? Because discipline went out the door. Then it was no longer, you know, we could wish the problem was gum. I mean, we had major problems. And we live in a society where children are fornicating in the hallways in our schools as we speak. Yeah? Because the paddle went out the door. Loving chastisement went out the door. Yeah. All right, that's some general rules. Four things that every child needs. He needs a father's discipline, his mother's supervision. He needs demonstrable affection in the family, demonstrated between the father and the mother and with the children. It must be demonstrated. And he needs cohesiveness, unity in the family when everybody functions. If we would apply these general principles, our children would be better citizens. They would be better Christians. And so this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So let's look at some things from the scriptures. That text we read, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Did you know you can provoke your children the wrong way? We should provoke them onto love and good works. And remember what I said? A lot of these things that we teach our children, we're already supposed to be doing. Aren't we supposed to be provoking one another onto love and good works? We most certainly are. Are you doing that? We need to do that with our children. But you can provoke them in a negative way. You can provoke them to do things they shouldn't be doing. Let me see where I put my notes. I apologize. I wrote several things down that how we can provoke our children to wrath. By overprotecting them. By making them hothouse plants where they cannot survive in a real world. By always taking their side even when they're wrong. By fencing them in. By depriving them of freedom. By defending them, as I've already mentioned, when they're wrong. And not allowing them to feel pain for their own bad decisions. always willing to pour sugar on the situation. Well, sometimes they don't need sugar. They need a little salt. Sometimes they need to suffer, just as you suffer. Does the Lord allow you to suffer? Hasn't suffering made you the character that you have? Because you learn. How do you learn to ride a bike? Well, you got to fall a few times. And the parent that will not allow their children to fall, their children will never learn to ride a bike because they're overprotective. If you overprotect your child, you will provoke them to anger and wrath. By showing favoritism, we have several examples in the Bible. Isaac could be one, Rebekah could be another. By favoring one child over the other, this is why I think that you ought to have more than one child, because children have a way of making their siblings tough. We need tough children. We need children that understand they can't have their way all the time. And life is not a bed of roses. There's thorns in there sometimes. Yeah, we need to teach our children that life is real. Our children should not be raised in a monastery. I'm not going to go into this, but this will give you my opinion. My opinion as far as schooling goes, I think our children ought to go to school. I think they ought to learn to read, write, and what was the other one? Arithmetic. Yeah? But I'm not a fan of Christian schools. I am a fan of homeschooling, but I'm not a fan of Christian schools, and I won't go down that rabbit trail too far. But some people try to overprotect their children, and it provokes them to wrath. The Bible says we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. We should not be saying to our children, as happened in my life, my brother and I would get caught doing something, yeah? Or I should say, my brother would get caught doing something that we both did, and my parents would have us standing there, and here's how it went. My brother's name is Derek. My younger brother is Derek. Derek! You did something wrong. Why don't you behave like Brent behaves? Well, I was just as guilty as he was. Probably the one provoked him to do the wrong thing, but he got caught and I didn't. So we ought to be careful that we don't compare our children and make these types of comparison. It's very destructive. We're not supposed to do it among ourselves. We should not do it with our children by showing favoritism one over the other. Another problem I've seen is that parents tend to push for overachievement. You failed at high school and you want your children to get all A's or all 100s, yeah? You failed as a quarterback, but you want your child to be the best quarterback ever. You need to find out what the Lord's will is for your child's life and direct them that way instead of your own plans. Allow your children to fail. Don't force your children into your ambitions. Find out what their ambitions are. Direct them, guide them, instruct them. Direct them towards Christ. Direct them towards the words of God. Let your children become what they are truly capable of being in the Lord. Encourage them. Do not discourage them in those things. How many children, their parents pushed them to be Olympians and their children were not Olympians and now their children are drug addicts? Suicide. I just read about it the other day. Young lady, their parents were forcing her to do something that she did not want to do because the parents had the ambition. They wanted their child to be this hero and this child was not a hero. She could not take it and took her life. Because she could not meet the excessive expectations of her parents. Do not be excessive in your expectations. You're not perfect, neither are your children. You can provoke your children to wrath by discouraging them, by not giving them approval, by never encouraging them. No rewards, no honor, no praise will discourage them. Children need praise and honor. They seek it. They want to please you. When they do, you ought to praise them. You ought to honor them. You ought to reward them. It should not all be negative. There needs to be a, guess what that word is? Balance. Balance in raising children. Don't browbeat them. Don't mock them. Don't ridicule your children. Try to encourage them. If you're always putting your children down, this will be a discouragement and will provoke them to wrath. Don't neglect your children. Back to that time factor. In the Proverbs it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Yeah. Now that does not mean you can never leave your child alone. You can't be fluttering around like a mother hen over your children all the time. They need independence. But they don't need so much independence they never see their parents except for when the parents are going to bed or eating. As I mentioned earlier, they need that undivided attention. But in our generation, children are neglected. Mom and dad are off working, the children are home, and who knows what they're doing. They need supervision. They don't need to be neglected. Children need parents that will sacrifice for them. That is, that we deny ourselves and allow children to take our time. Yes. Instead of our agenda all the time, our plans, etc., that we can't be bothered with them, go away, leave me alone. Children become an obstacle and hindrance, intruding into your life. If this happens, it's because you're not willing to sacrifice for your children, and it will provoke them to wrath. You need to be aware of these things. Allow your child to grow. Allow your child to spill milk. I'm not saying teach them to spill milk. I'm saying allow them to spill milk. It's going to happen. Yeah. Allow them to venture out and try things. They're going to break things. They're going to spill things. You break things. You spill things. You've never spilled milk. You never turned over a glass of tea. You've never gotten food on the couch. You've never, broken something. Your children need to experience what it's like to fail. You have to allow them the opportunity to succeed and with a possible consequence, a possible option of failing. You need to give them that type of independence, but not neglect them. I hope you understand the difference. And then, not lastly, but I will conclude with this point. Watch your mouth. One of the most disheartening things for me as a young believer, I was 16 years old, went to a gas station. That gas station was run by a deacon in the church that I happened to go to. And he was cussing up a blue streak. I was literally in shock. Now, I understood my parents swore, I swore before I got saved. I just figured that was part of the world. But here was this alleged Christian, a deacon in the church, swearing. That had a profound effect on my life. We need to set the example that we can control the tongue. We want our children to be under control, then control that tongue right there. Yeah? That's a 24-hour job, controlling the tongue. You need to watch that you don't use derogatory words, degrading criticism, hostility, shaming, browbeating, words that will crush your children. We do not want to crush their spirit. We want to train them, but not crush their spirit. Anybody that's raised, I better not use that example. I got myself into trouble before. I'm not using animals as an example. Some people around here don't understand a metaphor. So, anyway. You can crush a child's spirit. Instruction and discipline are not meant to crush their spirit. It's to train them, to guide them. Yeah. All right, let's look at some scripture. Do we still have time? Yes, we do. All right. Children need protection. I think it was Jacob, he said, when he was speaking with Esau, he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with me are young, And if a man should overdrive them in one day, all the flocks will die. Children are tender. They do need protection. They can't really fend for themselves. That depends upon you. And God entrusted you with that. And if you're not around, how are you going to protect them? Now, I'm not talking, I've already mentioned this, not overprotection, never allowing them to suffer, but I'm talking about protecting them from evil. There's a lot of evil in this world. Your children need to know that they're safe. Yeah, they need to have a safe place to live. They need to have, doesn't have to be a palace, but somewhere that's safe. Yeah, it could be a hut with a dirt floor, but they know they're safe because their parents are protecting them. And if you're never around, you cannot protect them. If you do not know where your children are, you cannot protect them. You need to be supervising them, watching over them, protecting them. Talking about the wicked, Job said, his children are far away from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is any to deliver them. You and I as parents need to protect our children from the evils of this world. Yeah? From evil people. Now that does not mean that you go and cuss out their teacher because the teacher reproved them for doing wrong. If your child was wrong, then they're wrong. You need to reprove them as well. Now, in the old days, it went like this. First, the teacher gave you a swat. Then you went to the vice principal, and then you got another swat. Then the vice principal called your dad, and you went home, and you got your third swat. That was the old days. And you know what the problem, I already mentioned this, the problem in the schools in the old days was gum and running. Well, nowadays, no. If your teacher even bats an eye in the child, your child's direction, that's a lawsuit. Well, that's not the type of protection your children need. Maybe you ought to get your children away from a teacher that won't rebuke them. We got a. What do they call these snowflakes? Or what are they called? Snowflakes. They can never take no, and everything is permissible. Your children need to learn the word no. By the way. All right. Your children need provision. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Your children need to eat. They need to be clothed. That's your responsibility, parents. Proverbs 31, it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. The mother's going to make sure that her children are clothed. Let me give you a hint, since we're talking about clothing. This is a little bit of experience. Instead of saying, Sally, you're going to wear the pink dress today, it might be wiser to say something like this. Sally, would you like to wear the pink dress or the yellow dress? Giving your child an option so you don't have this ongoing battle every morning, yeah? Because, you know, I don't like the pink dress. Well, you give them an option, and then they're thinking, okay, I can do pink or blue. Yeah, that's just good advice. Yeah, it saves you some difficulty. You get them clothed. You get them something that you want them to wear, but you also given them an opportunity to make decisions. We need to train our children to make decisions. Yeah, but we need to provide for our children. Jesus said, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. There are people buying drugs and alcohol and leaving their children hungry. Right here in San Antonio. I hope not anywhere in this room. Yeah? Buying things that are of not a necessity when your children need bread. We need to be feeding our children. That is our responsibility. Paul said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So we have this principle that it's you and you, mom and dad, you have the responsibility to make sure your children are taken care of. That is a tremendous responsibility. Children need correction. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And this, my friends, my brothers and sisters, if you will teach your children, they can actually give you rest. If you will do it properly, if you will lay down the rules and explain the rules and make very few rules. Did you know the Lord gave 10 commandments? Yeah? Makes it simple. You ought to do the same. We started off our children one rule. No means no.
Amen.
Yeah? And we worked on that. And then when that child learned that no means no, then we went to the next rule. But how did we do that? We explained the rule. We explained the consequences of the rule. What the penalty would be if the violation of the rule, if and when they did violate it, and yes, they did violate it quite often, we applied the consequences diligently and as close as to the infraction as possible. Then afterwards, we explained why they suffered the consequences. So here it goes. Johnny, don't put a fork in the socket. Yeah? If you put a fork in a socket, there are going to be consequences. A, you might not live to tell about it. B, you're going to get a spanking. Or you're going to get a swat on the hand. Yeah? Those are the consequences. Johnny's running over to the light socket with the fork in his hand. You can warn him. Johnny, do you remember what I said about the fork in a socket? 9 times out of 10, Johnny's going to look at you and go, ding, ding. Yeah? So you might have to go over there and swat him. Yeah? So that he doesn't put the fork in the socket. Why? That's for his benefit. Now, he's not going to think it's for his benefit, but you know that it's for his benefit, correct? So after you've given him the discipline that was necessary, he's now crying, yes? If it doesn't evoke tears, if it doesn't evoke crying, it's probably not going to help. Yeah? Did you get that, Mama?
Amen.
Nowadays, maybe Daddy. Maybe a Daddy as well, yeah? As I said earlier, pain is a teacher. Let me give you a quick example. Let me finish up here. So Johnny's crying now. You allow him to cry for a little bit. And there's no purpose in saying, after you've just given him a swat and he's crying, for you to sit there and say, hey, stop that crying. Well, now you're provoking them. You just give them something to cry about. Now you're telling them not to cry. Yeah? The inconsistency is in your court, not theirs. Do something about that. Now that they're crying, allow them to cry, but explain to them and go over the rule again why it is that you suffered these consequences. You made a poor decision. Mommy and Daddy told you not to put the fork in the socket, and you attempted to do it, therefore you got a spanking or whatever the penalty was, right? You suffered that because we did not want you to do that. That was the rule. Huh? In this case, we were trying to prevent them from putting that fork in the socket because they're going to end up killing themselves. But you know what I've learned with all 4 of our children and most of our grandchildren? I'm not sure if I could say every grandchild because we weren't around all the time. So we explained to the children, look, these metals, they conduct heat. So when you turn on the stove, the fire goes and it gets these metals hot. And if you touch it, it's going to burn your finger. And that little 2-year-old just looking at you going, yeah, yeah, duh, duh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So you've explained what's going to happen. If you touch the stove, your hand is going to get burnt. You tell them, don't touch the stove because your hand's going to get burnt. And you know what they're going to do every time? They're going to go and touch that stove. And you know what happens when they touch that stove? They become teachers. They become the best teachers on the planet because everybody that comes in the room, hot, 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 yeah? We just learned an important lesson. I'm not saying put your child's hand on the stove. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that pain is a good teacher. Did you know pain, that God gives us pain in our bodies to tell us, don't do that. Don't do that. You're 63 years old, Bill. You should not be playing basketball. Don't be doing that. Your knees cannot take that. That pain is saying, don't be doing that. So the rod is given because it's effective in teaching. And guess where the rod ought to be applied? There and only there. Not on the head, not on the back, not on the feet, not on the arms, not on the side. What did Linda used to say? The board of education applied to the seat of understanding. Yeah? That's where it goes. It will sting, but it won't hurt them. We're not trying to harm that. Thank you for the word, Bill. We're not trying to harm our children. We are trying to inflict pain as a teacher. Yeah? So that they remember. So that they go around telling everybody, hot, hot. You know what our children learn to do? It's really funny. Kids are really smart. At times. After they got disciplined, when they see their sibling go, they'd go get the paddle. They'd just start pointing it at it, you know. You're gonna get that, bud. You're gonna get that. They become teachers because pain does learn. Did you know that you can teach your children without using a paddle? You can do that. Every time Johnny runs over there to do something wrong, you can run right after and grab him and explain to him. And after about, you know, 3 hours of doing this, Johnny's going to get bored and run off and do something. And you're sitting in your chair all worn out. And you're wondering why you don't have any rest. Because you did not use pain as a teacher. You didn't use the rod as a teacher. You give that child a good swat on the behind, and it stings enough to make him cry or her cry, they're going to remember that. And then you're going to have rest. Well, we're not going to get done with this. I still have 3 pages to go. So, I hope that was helpful. I hope you'll apply that. My suggestion to you, because it's going to be a while before we get back to the subject, if we get back to it, is go through the book of Proverbs. Just read it. Just read it every day. Just go through the book of Proverbs. I did not have a good example as parents. I had to learn from 2 sources. I had to learn from reading the Bible and hearing godly men tell me how to raise children from the Bible, and I married a good woman. She was just a natural mother. Janice is a natural, caring person. I don't have any natural care in me. It's all learned. I have to learn to care. I have to force myself to care. But Janice was natural. Some people have that natural tendency, and I'm thankful that I got to marry Janice and that she said yes. Whew. That was the grace of God. But she was a natural parent. And she taught me, she really did, by practical things and how to be a proper parent. And I'm thankful that we had that team together. Yeah? So, read the book of Proverbs. Lots of things we can learn. Spend time with your children. Make sure they understand the difference between yes and no. Do not allow your children to be rebellious. Keep the authority that God gave you. You have a responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them to church. Read them the Bible. Pray with them. These things are all important. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray that you would have mercy upon our children. Lord, we want to raise them up to love you with all their hearts and all their minds and all their souls. Bless everybody here. Bless the preaching in this next hour. Have mercy upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.